Are the Falcons going to try to bring in a pass rusher?
I don't see it, man.
Hold on, who?
I don't know. Charles Harris. I don't know. It's not
we
be
had
Max
Charles
Crosby.
Harris already. He wasn't
guy,
that great.
Za'Darius Smith. Well, he's
the guy from New England's the guy that keeps getting
Aziz
brought up.
Aziz Ojulari.
He's playing for the Giants. He's doing pretty well, isn't he? Wait, the other Ojulari guy.
Yeah, and he's the he's from here. No, the I can't remember the guy's name from the Patriots. He keeps getting brought up and all that.
And we got him already, Matthew Judon.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. They're like, they've already made this connection one time. Might as well go back to the well and see if they can pull it out of there. No, but Rob, we talked about this yesterday. I'm glad you brought this up because Raheem referenced, and he was like, yeah, if you look at Arnold Ebiketie's PFF grade, which I thought was a little bit out of pocket for Raheem to bring up a PFF grade, but he's like, it's pretty good. And I'm like, that's an interesting comment, but we went back and did – the comparisons, Rob, and he was kind of spot on. So I don't know. I know that you look at the sack numbers and you say, well, we could use some help, but who are you going to replace? You're not going to replace Judon. And Arnold Ebiketie, evidently, in Raheem's eyes, is doing pretty well in this situation.
And I heard Carl and Mike talking about yesterday, and they're throwing out names like Max Crosby not coming here.
That's a pipe dream.
And Myles Garrett not coming here. Also, the thing I would tell you, somebody hit me about Myles Garrett, and I said, be careful. Because I'm not sure I want to throw like two first-round picks at Cleveland for Myles Garrett, yeah, who comes here with a big price tag. And guess what? A foot issue,
yeah,
that he might not play. I know this is over the top, but he could play. He could finish a year and then never play again for you. Now, if it gets you a Super Bowl, that's great. But the fact that he has a foot issue is bad. I mean, you don't want to do that.
Not the Tootsies, man. Don't get my Tootsies rolling like that. It's for somebody.
How many
actually
big men in the NBA have been just destroyed by bad?
There was somebody, maybe it was a Seattle guy. Somebody went out this week with Liz Frank, one of the offensive linemen in the NFL, and I was like, man. And they were like, well, be back for OTAs. And I was like, dude, just take it from me. That is not a slam dunk. That he's
that woman
back for
has
OTAs.
Destroyed so many careers. That
old Liz, man, she's a beast.
He's toxic, man.
It's actually the name of a French general. I don't know if I ever told you that story before.
I didn't know that.
Somebody had to explain that to me one time, and I was like, oh, it's good to know because it happened.
I thought
to me
he
twice.
Would have surrendered, so yeah. It wouldn't be an issue.
Happened to me twice, old Liz Frank.
Hey. Let's hear from Kirk Cousins, shall we? This interview brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands. Easy, 1 hour drive from Atlanta. Let's hear from Kirko.
This is the Falcons Quarterback Report. The Falcons Quarterback Report is brought to you by Rooms to Go. Buy the piece, save a little. Buy the room, save a lot. Here's Dave Archer.
Time to catch up with Kirk Cousins here on Countdown to Kickoff. And, Kirk, congratulations on the recent string for your team. I want to dive into a little bit. You're such a mental guy. Obviously, the physical part of you got. The mental part of it, too, I think you exceed what most people are at this position. What are some of the things you're thinking about during the week as you try to get ready to go?
Yeah, I think you try to get a feel for the defense you're playing as to how they present pre-snap, what they then look like post-snap, what difficult looks are there, what are the plays that could get you in trouble, what's going to be your answer when you're getting in trouble, and then so much of studying is you study your opponent, but then you also got to really own your stuff to know that what am I doing versus every single possible look that we could get on each and every play. A lot of the preparation also is with teammates, is talking through, hey, I know what I need to do, but I need 10 other guys to know what they need to do. And so a lot of it is communicating so that we all know what each other is going to do, and that enables us to play fast.
What do you continue to work on from a physical standpoint when you're in practice as far as your drops and your feet and all that kind of stuff?
I think it's a footwork thing. I think just this week it was trying to make sure that my drops are keeping me in the center of the pocket. I'm not drifting into Jake Matthews or drifting into Caleb McGarry. And I noticed on film sometimes that's happening. And so just trying to retrain my muscle memory, even in year 13, to make sure I'm staying in the center of the pocket and that I'm open to my left when the read calls for me to throw a ball to the left flat. And then I'm, closing off to the right when the read calls for me to throw a ball to the right. So certainly you have to use your arm sometimes and throw from a unique position. But for the most part, you want to make life easy for yourself and be in alignment on as many throws as possible.
I know sometimes confidence can be fleeting for especially for younger players. How much does the confidence, is it bred by the way you guys ran the football last week and then that last Thursday, the way you threw it?
Yeah, it's a week-to-week league, Arch, and you know that. You never know what each week is going to bring. And I think you see it watching other teams where you have a team that lights it up and then the next week they're really struggling to find any offense. And so you learn that, nothing's guaranteed, and just because something happened last week doesn't mean that that happens again. And I think that's where the sense of urgency and the preparation is there every week, because you want to make sure that you're stacking up strong performances, but they all are their own entity, and you truly have to stack another one up. You can't just roll over from the previous week.
In the vein of preparation, this is a staff that's brand new in Seattle, and I know you didn't play Seattle every year when you're in Minnesota, but still you saw him some.
Yeah, I played him a lot.
But when you look at now Mike McDonald, who comes over as the defensive coordinator former from Baltimore, how do you study to get ready for a team like this? I know you got six games to look at.
Yeah, we got a sample size from this year, certainly, and that's good to go off of. But why not go back and look at what he did in Baltimore? I mean, they were number one in the league last year for a reason, and so you can learn from that. And then you certainly learn from this year. You try to gather as much information as you can. It's my first time playing him as a defensive coordinator, because the 2 years he was the coordinator of the Ravens, my schedule didn't cross with his. Played him when he was an assistant, back in college when we played Georgia. So, yeah. You know, we've crossed paths, but the other crossing of paths is that my wife went to high school with him. So, you know, there's all kinds of paths being crossed, but it'll be a good challenge going against him. He's done a great job.
That's crazy when you had to go to wife for a little bit of scout. On the DC. No, I'm playing. Tell me about this defensive group as far as what you see from a tape standpoint.
Yeah, they play hard. It's a good group. I have a lot of respect for certainly the scheme of Coach McDonald, but look at, you know, Witherspoon, a top five pick at corner who moves into nickel and does a great job there. You know, you look at Baker's linebacker from Miami, who I thought was a great backer there, and you know, have a lot of respect for him. I think Love at safety does a great job. So they got players all over, and you know, going against some of their D linemen like Jaron Reed and Jonathan Hankins many times, and have respect for them, what they can do. So they play hard, and it shows on tape.
Kirk, go have some fun.
All right, thanks, Arch.
All right, there you have it right there. And guess what? You can run the ball in Seattle, gentlemen. Apparently.
Talk dirty, Rob.
Apparently. You can run it deep.
Turns out you can actually hand the ball off in the NFL nowadays. No, man, that's what I'm excited about to see. I can't wait to see what our offensive game plan looks like and how it kind of adapts through the game. Because we came out, you know, people don't understand. You look at the running yards last week, Rob, and I know you'll appreciate this. We came out trying to throw it. We came out trying to throw the ball.
Yeah, the first three plays. Yeah,
I think it's five of the first seven, I want to say, were throws. And you're like, dude, come on, man. Let's run this pill.
This is such a weird matchup because it's weakness versus weakness and strength versus strength. What I mean is, like, their weakness is running the football. Our weakness is run defense.
Yep.
Our weakness has been running the football. If you don't, you know, if you haven't looked at the whole trend, their weakness is defending the run, right? Their strength is passing the football. Our strength, pass defense, and vice versa. So what we're good at, they're good at. And what we're bad at, they're bad at. It's just weird how this match up. So, it's like the odd version of something's got to give.
You know what's funny that I've noticed from a breakdown standpoint is, like, obviously, as we all go throughout the week, you start looking at some of the matchup situations and listening to guys. And you guys know I'm a big Warren Sharp guy. I love to see what kind of his insight fantasy-wise. More and more do I start to read stuff where – the Falcons and the NFL prognosticators have started leaving out the Pittsburgh game. It's like, well, since week one or after week one, if you start counting after week one, the Falcons are this. And you guys saw me after that game, man. I was so stressed out because the alarm bells are sounding. I'm like, there's no way that after an entire offseason of planning that was the best game plan we could come up with. And I still look at the Pittsburgh game as a lost opportunity. Look at some of the other close wins we've had. I'm like, okay, I got to throw those in there too. So
after 6 weeks, is Zach Robinson the most improved part of this team?
I was about to say, talk about his evolution.
I mean, I get to be around in certain scenarios around these guys. He's oozing confidence. Like I can look at him and see how he's carrying himself. And I got to talk to him before the season, before we even drafted this year. Had talked to him off the record, and he feels like the feeling I get from him right now is he's more confident now than he was then, and I think he was confident then.